Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The Primetime Emmy Awards could be quite interesting this year, not just the honors, but the telecast, too. As we've seen with award shows and conventions, it's been an opportunity to rethink old, tired ways of doing things. It can also be a three-car pileup. Remember when the nominations were announced and the very funny but kind of confused Leslie Jones attempted to tell Laverne Cox she was a nominee?
Now, I was supposed to do that way smoother.
First of all,
Laverne, you just won. No, you have a nominee, girl. You nominated for guest actress on a show. Yes.
Really? Actress. Wait, what?
Yes, actress. You've been nominated.
It's funny every time. This year's telecast is being produced by Reginald Hudlin, who has been an executive producer of the Oscars before and films like Django Unchained. He's also the first Black executive producer of the Emmys. Apparently, the production team sent out about 130 video and lighting kits to the nominees to set up in their homes or offices or wherever. So I guess we'll see which actors paid attention to lighting directors on all those shoots. And of course, there are the awards. And on the show today, we'll hear from some of the folks nominated by the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. Director Nicole Cassell talked about directing the HBO series Watchmen, and we'll hear two interviews from the stars of The Good Place, William Jackson Harper, who played Chidi, and Manny Jacinto, who played Jason Mendoza. Before we get to those conversations, let's zoom out for a look at the whole shebang. Joining me now is Kelly L. Carter, senior entertainment writer at The Undefeated. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. So this could get interesting. Now we see like the socially distanced BET Awards, they were kind of great. And the VMAs were extremely slick. Right. So we know this can be done. What has EP Reggie Hudlin said about the telecast?
That anything can happen. And I think that they're prepared for quite literally anything to happen. You never know how this is going to go. But I think the one thing that they got right from the offset is by having Jimmy Kimmel come back and host the Emmys, because if something does go left or go crooked, I think Jimmy's the right guy to help kind of bring it all back together, or at least make fun of himself and the whole thing as it's happening.
Yeah, he said Jimmy Kimmel told USA Today he hopes it doesn't go smoothly because nothing is more boring than smooth. He said, quote, "I will be basically alone in a giant room where they usually play basketball, trying to communicate intimately with the home television audience. It sounds like a bad idea now that I spell it out."
Exactly. And, you know, we have to remember that Jimmy Kimmel was the host of the wrong Best Picture Oscar moment. That was such a big viral moment at that time. So Jimmy really knows how to kind of juggle and play things off on the fly, I think. So we'll see.
What do you think we talked about his strengths. What are his weaknesses, or what could be a weakness for someone like Jimmy Kimmel in this moment?
I mean, not having a live audience to play off of absolutely will be challenging. But the good news, I think, is that he's had a little bit of practice with his late night show, mm-hmm. sans an audience. You know, doing that opening monologue, what lets you know that you're hitting on all the right cylinders is that immediate response and immediate feedback. He's not going to get that at the Emmys. But again, he's had a little bit of practice with his show. And not getting that immediate feedback, that I think he's been able to use that a little bit as test runs, I think, for this really virtual, unprecedented experience during award season.
Well, you're going to be part of this as well. You're going to be at the Staples Center in Los Angeles as part of a virtual red carpet pre-show on ABC. Can you give us a hint of what that's going to look like?
Well, it's going to be the first time I'm wearing real shoes, so that'll be fun in a long time. But also, you know, we're still trying to figure things out and what things might look like. You know, you're starting to see the trucks pull in and park outside, and it's looking a lot like what an award show of this magnitude might look like as far as, you know, kind of having that accoutrement there. It's going to be minus the red carpet. It's going to be minus the moments. I think some nominees are telling us that they're going to go full glam, you know, in whatever virtual moments they're going to be having. And then some are saying they're not. They're going to maybe have a little bit of fun and get some custom PJs. I think we're going to see some tuxedo PJs or some glammy, you know, pajama sets, and people really having a little bit of fun at their own expense. But also, I think one of the more interesting things to come out of this moment as a whole is being able to see the world's most famous people at home in their element. And so people are going to be able to have their dogs be a part of the moment. You're going to be seeing, you know, famous people in their living rooms with their children being a part of accepting awards. So I think that's going to actually be really sweet and really fun.
Yeah, it's funny. I read an interview with one of the producers saying, you know, when nominees are always saying to their kids, "Mommy loves you, go to bed," that they can actually be there with their kids in that moment. Exactly. And telling them to go to bed in person.
Exactly. Eating slices of pizza or whatever it is, you know, that they get to do at home. And we're going to all be able to be part of that, you know, which I think is kind of fun. And also, these cameras, there are 130 cameras that have gone out, these camera kits, they are all over the world. So it's not just, you know, people in LA that are going to be part of this. It's on both coasts. It's across the country, across the world, because we know that people are shooting some big franchise films outside of the country right now. So this is going to be a lot of fun and really interesting to see how it works. And I know that everyone else is going to be paying attention to see how the rest of this awards season might go and what it might look like potentially. So I think there's a lot of pressure riding on everybody, but I think it seems like they're up for the challenge.
It also seems like it's a chance for, it's an opportunity to shake things up a bit, because we all know the rhythms of these award shows and it can get a little stale. Yeah. I mean, there really is an opportunity to be creative here, don't you think?
I think so too, you know, and try things that they've never been able to do before. So I'm pretty excited to see what the possibilities are. Like, I, for one, have been very inspired by how studios have been able to adapt to this kind of virtual world, mostly virtual world that we're living in right now, and how they're promoting projects. Like, I have a cooking class with Larry Wilmore tonight. That's going to be, you know, they're sending a food kit and we're going to cook with the chef in promotion of like a new show that he is coming. So I'm curious to see how that same creative ingenuity is going to be adapted for, you know, a really big night in Hollywood. And I think the expectation is that because people are doing nothing but watching TV, and this is probably the first you know, Emmy's award show where people have watched more of the TV that is nominated tonight, because we've been at home, the expectation is that more eyeballs are going to be watching. So we will see what those numbers look like on Monday morning.
My guest is Kelly L. Carter. She's senior entertainment writer at The Undefeated. We're talking about the Emmys, the primetime Emmys, which are coming up on Sunday. The reason I say primetime Emmys is because there have been the Creative Arts Emmys all week long, costume and makeup, editing, various roles that are sometimes supporting roles on different kinds of platforms and shorts and things like that. HBO's Watchmen and Disney's Plus's Mandalorian have already won big winners there. What were some of the big surprises at the Creative Emmys this week?
Quibi, you know, they got their first ever Emmy nomination. You know, big wins for both Lawrence Fishburne and, of course, Jasmine Cephas-Jones for Free Rayshon. We know her from Hamilton.
Peggy.
So that was exciting to see that. Exactly, Peggy. And Peggy, to see that win, especially because when Quibi was first announced, or first launched, excuse me, it certainly came with its share of reported problems. And so for them to out the gate capture their first Emmy was huge, and I'm sure it'll attract a lot more people who want to come and create products on that platform. So that was big. And I also think another big one, Maya Rudolph finally winning her first Emmy. I'm so excited.
Unbelievable that it's her first Emmy.
Her first Emmy. You know, she's up for three this season. So we'll see, you know, what happens on Sunday. But her first Emmy win, which is amazing. Love Maya. And she's very well liked in this town. So it's no surprise that she won that first Emmy. But it is crazy that this actually is her first Emmy win.
And it wasn't for SNL. It was for playing Connie the Hormone Monstress on Big Mouth.
which is kind of apropos to Maya Rudolph, when I think I think. But of course, people really loved her in The Good Place, playing the judge, which she's awesome, you know, in that series, or she was awesome on that series. And then also we get to see her up for a nomination playing Kamala Harris for Saturday Night Live, which I thought she killed it. And I think a lot of other people thought that she killed it, too. So she could, you know, also grab that that guest actress comedy series Emmy nomination where she's competing against herself. So why not?
She is a national treasure. And by the way, if you go to her Instagram after this segment and go to her Insta stories of her accepting the award, it's very funny. Not surprisingly, it's very, very funny. All right, Kelly, let's talk about the Primetime Awards, the main stage Sunday night. Before we get to the nominees, are there any shows or actors that you think should have been recognized but were not?
Yeah, you know, I think that a number of actors are missing from the Pose family. I mean, I love MJ Rodriguez and would have loved to have seen her name get called, because I also thought she turned in a fantastic season on Pose, and I'm a little surprised, I'm a little disappointed that her name was not called for that one. And it also, of course, it feeds into a larger conversation about the lack of Latinx representation at the Emmys this season. There's a lot to cheer for and a lot to be happy about and a lot to talk about with regards to how progressive the Emmy nominees look this year. But that is a big missing chunk that I don't think that we can ignore when we talk about, you know, what's kind of happened this season.
Well, we had Alan Sepinwall on the show a while back, and he made a note. He noted that 40% of the nominated actors are non-white. So I'm curious, do you think that TV is doing a better job of telling a wider range of stories than film, or is it about the voters? Are they different from the Academy, which tends to be older?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. TV, you get to play a little bit more and a little bit more often than you do in film. And also, I think that, you know, producers and showrunners have a little bit more creative control over who they get to bring in to be a part of projects. You look at someone like Ava DuVernay, for example, who makes a point to hire all female directors on her show Queen Sugar. And she's able to employ people at a greater rate than I think what we see normally happens in the film industry. So I think that it's a little bit easier in television to make sure that you're diversifying. And then you have someone, of course, like Regina King, who, you know, very boldly made a proclamation when she was capturing her Golden Globe Award that projects that she worked on moving forward, you know, she would be very vocal about bringing in female directors and female creatives behind the scenes. And then we see how that played out in her very highly, you know, nominated series Watchmen for HBO. So I think that it's a place where people can be a little bit more loud and visible than perhaps they can be in the film industry. And it's showing.
Yeah, 5 women nominated lead actress category are Black women. You brought up Regina King for Watchmen, Kerry Washington in Little Fires Everywhere, Octavia Spencer in Self-Made, inspired by the life of Madam C.J. Walker. Meredith Blake of the L.A. Times called this category TV's fiercest category. Does that ring true to you?
Yeah, it does. I mean, so much of that category, a lot of these categories feel this way, but that category in particular feels a lot like it could be an Academy Award, you know, category. Like, the caliber of talent is amazing. All of those projects were fantastic. Little Fires Everywhere, Mrs. America, and Watchmen were amongst my favorite moments of television of all time. And so I think that it's so important that we get to see this kind of representation and this type of a diverser pool base of nominees up for that award. That said, I think that it is a foregone conclusion who is going to hear their name called when the time comes on Sunday night. And I think it's going to be Regina King.
You do? Because a lot of folks think it might be Cate Blanchett.
She was fantastic. Mrs. America, hands down, one of the best pieces of television that I've seen in a really long time. Really love that limited series. But I think that it's Regina King's year. It's a continuation. She's been killing it, you know, the last few years. And it's, I don't know why this train might stop now.
My guest is Kelly L. Carter. She's senior entertainment writer at The Undefeated. We're discussing the Emmy Awards, which are the Primetime Emmys, which are this Sunday night. We'll continue with Kelly after a quick break. This is All of It. This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Kelly Carter from The Undefeated is my guest. We're talking about the Primetime Emmys, which are coming up on this Sunday night. Let's talk about Rami, which won a Peabody Award.
Yes.
I mean, it's a really good show. It's not a comedy. It's not a drama. I hate to say dramedy, but it is kind of a dramedy about guy growing up in New Jersey and navigating the world as young, single Muslim American with immigrant parents. What is it you think makes this show unique?
Well, first off, we've never seen a Muslim American family represented like this before on television. And quite often when we do see Muslim people that are Muslim or people of Middle Eastern descent on television or in film, they are portraying terrorists. So this is such an important piece of representation for so many families, not just brown families and not just Muslim American families, but other communities can see their stories played out in this. And it really is just getting at this very universal truth of what it's like to be a first gen. And I think people really love this show for what it's doing in that regard.
It's so good. In season two on Rami, Oscar winner Mahershala Ali plays a religious leader who's trying to guide Rami, because in the season starts, Rami has this case of ennui. So that's sort of the plot point. Let's listen to a little bit of the show of Rami and Mahershala. This is season two finale, actually, where Mahershala's character, the Sheikh, is confronting Rami about his destructive behavior. You'll hear Rami Youssef first.
Look, I don't know why I'm like this, okay? I don't, and that's why I need you. I need you to help me. That's why you're my sheikh.
It's all about you and your precious self-improvement. The rest of the world exists so that you can reflect on it and perfect yourself. Is that it?
No, I don't think that.
Allah sent you to me for a reason. There has to be a reason.
Yeah, so let's figure out that reason, right? We'll get to the bottom of it. We can just kind of like, you know, pray it out, talk it out, I feel like we'll feel it. Like, we'll just be like, that was the reason. Like, I think if we'll just be like that.
Maybe Allah sent you to see if I would give in to my nafs. If I would revert back to my old ways.
I don't know what your old ways were, but I don't think you should revert to them. I really think where you're at is beautiful. And I think that we're just like, we're testing each other maybe through Allah, but we don't know, right? Because we don't know Allah's will.
But you know the will of the Prophet, right?
Okay, so on the shallow end of the pool, Vanity Fair dubbed Mahershala Ali's character the hot sheik, sort of a callback to Fleabag's The Hot Priest. On the deeper end of the pool, what does this fine Oscar-winning actor bring to this show? And he's been nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, he just brings so much depth and layer. You know, just when you thought that the first season of Rami was bringing something that we hadn't seen before, the second season comes in and adds another layer on that entire experience by bringing in this very Black American experience and melding it with this. And so you see these, you know, two cultures coming together but have this shared belief. And Mahershala just really crystallizes the storyline in a way that I found to be so captivating. And if I'm being honest with you, everything that Mahershala does and he's up for, he wins. I just don't see him walking out a Sunday night without a win for this particular role. I think that also is a foregone conclusion. So good.
I kind of hope he wins because his speeches are always so elegant and thoughtful, too.
Yes.
I just like to hear his acceptance speeches. So let's talk about comedy for a minute. And when we talked about having you on the show, you said you had some thoughts about Insecure, which in addition to Best Comedy has been nominated in 8 categories.
Yeah, you know, I think all of those Insecure nominations are so important because it's really getting the love from this industry that it should be getting. You know, it's a really funny show. It appeals to a generation of young women and young men who love seeing themselves and their entanglements, you know, play out on this HBO series in a very realistic way. People fight and argue over these characters and their decisions as if they are real people in their lives, which to me is indicative, you know, of a series that really kind of penetrates American life. And in this case, in a way that we don't normally get to see young Black people on screen. And so I really enjoy this series, and I think that this is such a win for them to get this level of nomination, especially going into this fifth season. I'm so excited.
For the best drama category, this is the first year Game of Thrones is out of the picture. Thrones had won best drama 4 out of the past 5 years. And now that it's over, who are real contenders in this category to you? Best drama.
I think HBO is going to maintain their crown, and I think it's going to be Succession. You know, this is yet another really great, layered, complex story of a family patriarchy. And it feels like we're getting almost an inside look to perhaps some famous American families anyway, and how what happens behind the headlines. And I think people really gravitate to the story because of that. But also they gravitate because the storytelling is excellent and the acting is chef's kiss. I mean, it's just some really good stuff that comes out of this series. And I think they easily kind of walk away with the win on Sunday night.
That's such an interesting one, because the first year, some people liked it. There was a little bit of buzz, and then it just blew up the second year.
Yeah. And you know, I think this also is a show that is going to be benefiting from people being at home more and being able to do these quarantine marathons, because people who were not into Succession, even in that last season, have now found it and are obsessed and are waiting, you know, for this production to go back and to give us more seasons and more of this kind of rich, deep family drama. But yeah, you know, HBO kind of does that, though. They've had a couple of series like that builds slowly and then suddenly has like an exploding audience. And Succession is definitely in that category. And again, it's almost like it's a masterclass of acting. Every week that it's on, you just see some really great work out of guys like Brian Cox. And I just think it's going to be a big night for them on Sunday.
Yeah, HBO had 107 nominations. Netflix broke the record with 160. In our last minute, any predictions? Any you think are surefire wins?
I mean, Watchmen and Schitt's Creek are going to be the kings and queens of the night. I mean, they're easily going to capture most of the wins on Sunday night. Eugene Levy, his series is hands down one of the funniest pieces of television I've ever seen. And I think that a lot of voters definitely agree with me on that. And also, this is the town that rewards people who are beloved. And Catherine O'Hara is very beloved in this town, but has yet to win an Emmy. I think this is going to be her year. Same with Eugene. She's won an Emmy, but not for acting roles.
You know?
So this is going to be, I think, kind of a year recognizing, you know, their contributions to this town. And I think that also because the series is no more, this is the last chance to honor both of those actors and the show for that. So I think they're going to win. And then also people love Watchmen. I mean, it's definitely in the limited series category, but it operates like it's coming back for 10 more seasons. You know, it's just so well done.
Kelly L. Carter, senior entertainment writer for The Undefeated. Thank you so much for being with us, Kelly.
Thanks for having me.